AU. Subscribe. You're watching Radio Free Cybertron. Hosted by Brian Kilby, with J.D. Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 329, recorded September 18th, 2013. I am your host, Brian Kilby. I just realized that our 14th anniversary show is coming up in about a month.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Which means I have to change our logo.
Mm-hmm. That you do.
Darn. Mm. I like the 13 because I can make it all kind of like bloody and splattery looking. 14 is not cool.
Right. I got the solution here. Instead of changing the 13, change the 99 to a 2000.
That's a great idea.
That's a terrible idea.
That's fantastic. I love that. So with me this week, we have XV, JD Church, Diecast, and Don. Gentlemen, how goes your week?
All right, Don wins that round.
Yay.
Don is pissed off.
When you work retail, it all just sort of blends together. There's no... I did have my first Sunday off in 6 months, so that was
nice. That's just work, dude. It's like, like I have two times of year, which is end of year and the rest of the year.
I don't quite get that.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
It just isn't registering for some reason. I'm like,
if you're in banking, you have the end of the year because everything has to be processed by December 31st, and then you just have the rest of the year when other things happen, but
okay,
isn't important.
I didn't know if you worked on the calendar year, you had your own fiscal year or whatever.
No, we work on the, because we're in banking, we are on the real year.
Okay, that's cool, I guess, if you want to be like on the calendar year. My company, on the other hand, has an awesome fiscal year.
I hate my job, but anyway.
You want to talk for a living is what you want to do.
It is what I want to do. This is what I want to do and be paid for, but no one apparently wants to pay me to.
Oh, God, JD's going to be the next late-night host on Fox.
Oh.
Which means he'll last 4 episodes before getting canceled.
Yeah, really? 4? That sounds optimistic.
Well,
I appreciate your enthusiasm.
Nah, he'll be like the tit. They'll show 3 episodes and preempt him for something else.
Then the DVD set will come out and we'll get all the episodes.
I have that. I need to finish that.
I remember enjoying it, but for some reason, I don't know. I just never went back and watched the whole series.
Mm. It was amusing for 3 or 4 episodes, and then it just kind of got old, I guess.
Yeah. So we have some news. Okay, I'm just going to get the best news out of the way. Thrustinator. Thrustinator, Thrustinator, Thrustinator. I love Thrustinator.
Wow. Thrustinator sounds like a... Well, never mind.
Uh-huh. 30 seconds after the reveal, I was tweeting to the club. So no one objected to this at any point during any of the meetings?
I've seen that for sale at certain places.
It's all over again.
So when they said they were talking about getting molds that, you know, we wanted, we never got here in the U.S., I never thought Dirge Gun was going to be one of the molds.
Dirge Gun, didn't we? Wasn't that in one of the universe sets, the Target exclusives?
Was it? I don't remember that.
It was Hellscream. Yeah. We Dirge Gun.
We did get it. So,
and it was paired with Repugnus, that was a recolor of the Buzzsaw mold from Beast Wars.
I don't remember that.
It was the same mold as the virulent clones from 2005.
Buzzclaw.
Yeah. Was original figure? Yeah.
Yeah.
The Jolly Rancher colored insect.
Right.
It reminds me of what they're doing with the Constructobots. Just pull off some wings, put them on here, and yeah, it can fly.
Oh, I still don't remember that. That's wild. But it's just like the best idea sort of ever. It's pretty novel.
What?
Because it's you know, Waspinator, who is awesome. We love Waspinator. Okay. And it's, Thrust, who I love.
It's neat.
It's right? Thrust.
I wouldn't say it was the best idea.
It's Thrust.
Ever.
Thrust.
Well, I think this just shows when you're not marketing to a younger age audience, you can FunPub can do these figures that are fan favorites, and
it's
most
Thrust.
Everybody will get them.
Thrust.
It's one of the better concepts FunPub has thrown at us in a while.
I love it. So, for those people who don't remember or weren't alive in Beast Machines, it turns out that the Viacon generals were Maximals. Were they all Maximals that we thought? We thought they were all Maximals, but one ended up being a Predacon, and it was Waspinator. Thrust, we actually thought Thrust was Silverbolt to begin with. They thought Thrust was Silverbolt, but he was Waspinator. It was kind of threw people off because
some
Thrust.
Very good red herrings.
Yes, well, they're red herrings. How good they were.
Mm.
Thrust was the most badass of the Predacon generals. He was awesome. I love Thrust. And the fact that this toy is basically, I guess, from the timeline or whatever, Thrust decided that he wanted to become Waspinator again or something. I didn't read the comic. I don't care, really, because it's...
I thought... Well, it depends... The... What?
So, no, how do we explain where he is now?
Well, at the end of Beast Machines, he was just a literal wasp, wasn't he?
With Thrust's head.
With Thrust's head.
I don't remember that.
Why not?
Was that after Cybertron became Technorganic or like
right after the bad CGI of all the bots running over the hill
and all the green on Cybertron? Yeah, it was. I mean, that wasn't good. I've seen that episode recently, and I still don't remember that. Okay,
wow. Okay.
Yeah, well. He says he has plans, and then he gets flicked away.
Ah, yes, I do remember that. It doesn't quite jive with this, but you know, hey.
I'm disappointed based on that. You know, they did a new robot mode head that's a blend of Waspinator and Thrust, but they really needed to change the wasp head on the chest to be a Thrust robot head. So he would still be a Thrust-headed wasp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's not... I mean, they didn't commit all the way, but basically, I mean, considering what they could do reasonably, it's amazing. I love it.
No, it's clever.
Yeah, clever. Clever. That's a good word.
I am surprisingly impressed by this.
And like I said on Twitter to XV, it really makes me want that Ratchet Megatron, you know, figure that we'll never get.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame, really. But yeah, I love Thrustinator. It's just like doggone the best thing ever.
Yeah, I think for this wave, Thrustinator is Brian's Ultra Mammoth.
Oh, I like it better than Ultra Mammoth, I think.
It's that way for a lot of people, Don.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thrustinator has sold a lot of people on the subscription set.
I mean, I...
You know what? And I will buy the subscription set, and I will sell the Thrustinator, because I don't care.
I mean, you know...
JD, are you keeping your Treadshot and Roadbuster?
I don't know. I still have to actually convince Amanda that I need to get the set, and it'll pay for itself. So I'm a few steps behind, actually.
Well, I mean, you know, if you get that and you'll sell the Treadshot and Roadbuster, you can, you know, look for $100 back right away.
So, okay. So what do we have left to see? Chrome Dome?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Chrome Dome was revealed in the comic they put up on their Facebook page, but we still haven't seen a toy mock-up.
Yeah.
It's the last thing left.
I'm kind of wondering, is Thrustinator a little bit too obscure? Are they kind of...
That's the whole point, I think, of the subscription service. I mean, I would say that Barricade is a little too mainstream. Don't get me wrong. I think it looks great.
I love Barricade. That's what I want out of the set.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I want it, too. I think it's great. I think it's probably too mainstream, just a little bit. I don't think Thrust is too obscure. He's not circuit obscure.
Yeah, Circuit was a little farther of a leap.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, Circuit just a little too much. And let's see here, the Straxus figure is probably the most obscure thing that we've got. I always call it Straxus. I never call it by its name.
No, not Straxus. Sky Shadow. Black Shadow?
No, not Black Shadow. Black Shadow is obscure. That hit retail. That was obscure.
Subscription service one or two.
No, it wasn't a subscription service. It was retail. I'm just talking about really obscure crap that we've gotten.
Yeah, I think Black Shadow wins out on that.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it was a cool looking repaint.
Dark Mount. Scale Faces. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. I always say... I can never freaking remember Dark Mount. I think Dark Mount's probably the most obscure thing out there as far as... I think Dark Mount's more obscure than Black Shadow.
No, because I think more people have access... Like, at the time Dark Mount came out, I think more people had access to the Marvel comics through reprints than had access to Transformers Victory.
Okay. I just tweeted a picture of Thrustinator.
Do I want to see it?
Of course you do.
I know I do.
And let's see. Scaleface is just asking about how about Jackpot? I don't think Jackpot's too obscure. I think Jackpot's obscure, but not Circuit obscure. Sorry, yeah. Having an issue with Skype.
Yeah. Jackpot was an American figure, which makes it less obscure than the Euro exclusive repaint with a exosuit vehicle thing.
Okay, wait a minute. Which ones are you wanting, XV? Oh, you're wanting Treadshot and...
Iron Fist.
Yeah. How much is the full set?
We don't know yet.
I bet between those three and the Thrustinator, I can probably do that. Let me think about it. I get the set, though, I'll offer them to you first. I'll put it that way.
Okay, thanks.
And he'll ship them, probably 6 months to a year after he gets them.
I will most likely ship them timely.
Well, actually, it's really easy for him to, because all he has to do is put a new label on the box. Maybe, like, with a little bit of bubble wrap on the inside.
You mean like this?
Yeah. Like, that's where I got the idea from, JD. And where did Don go?
No, he disappeared.
Right. Yeah, he disappeared.
Bye, Don.
So XV thinks that, so you like that Thrustinator?
That is the worst thing ever. I'm not tweeting. I'm not putting that on the screen.
And you know, it has the spirit of Nexus Maximus with it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Has the spirit of Dirk Dinobot. That's what we need. We need a Dirk Dinobot TFSS figure. Yeah. That would be really easy, too. That would be really easy to remold. Just requires some super glue. You couldn't transform it, though, I don't think. I think Diecast just Googled Dirk Dinobot.
No, I just saw what JD put up. Oh.
Worst thing
I win the internet
ever.
that have already?
So we got a bunch of pictures of the Perfect Effect Bludgeon Skullface upgrade.
What the hell?
Yeah. I don't know.
And of course there is a set for the BotCon Overlord too.
Yeah, I know. Mm. I mean, I'm not complaining because you don't have to buy it.
Problem is, it takes more than a different face to fix BotCon Overlord.
That too. Let's look at it.
Like, you get the Perfect Effect headset, then you wait for another third party to make the replacement body for BotCon.
Right, yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, it's... And the face is very... I mean, obviously, the face is very, like, Euro-inspired with the... I don't know. It just looks wrong.
Yeah.
Just wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like the one that's scowling, though. Today. What?
Perfect Effect did do something else today.
What was the other thing they did? Let me check.
Did we not get Warden in the show notes?
No, it's in there.
Okay.
We are changing order here.
Well, I mean, we're on the perfect effect subject anyway.
Now, I do like this. I do like this. It's Warden, a.k.a. Not Fort Max, basically.
Not IDW Fort Max.
Yeah.
Shouldn't it be not Cerebros?
Well,
so, I mean, so Fort Max in the comics, at least in G1, he wasn't like the size of a city. He was,
and he's not an IDW.
Yeah.
He's just, you know, a big dude.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. He's not. He has shown up. I'm way behind. Keep in mind.
And that's why they're calling this Warden too, because Fortress Maximus was a prison warden in IDW.
Right.
Got him like 8 months back.
I mean,
back
it
now.
Looks great, but.
Wow.
How much
is it? It's going to be expensive.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
How big is it?
I don't think that much, though, because if it's.
Diecast, are you familiar with Perfect Effect's pricing model?
Yeah, it's going to be about $100 at least.
$150.
But I'm saying it's probably going to be around the same size as the Fans Project Headmasters. So
maybe, although even in that case, it's kind of too small.
It looks really, really nice, though.
It does, and you know, I like that the figure is itself a headmaster. The figure turns into an optional head for an Encore Fortress Maximus.
God, that is badass,
isn't it?
It seems to be designed with add-on parts so that it can alternatively be turned into a self-contained tank.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't have a big Fortress Maximus to stick it on as a head, it'll have a vehicle mode.
Yeah. Which is really strange looking because it has a big old face in the center of the vehicle mode.
Yeah, I've seen a picture of, like, a set of four treads hanging off the back. I am kind of thinking that there's going to be, like, parts replacement to...
Okay.
Set it for either head or vehicle, and the face will come off as part of that. Because, yeah, it would be kind of weird to have a tank with a big face sticking up out of it.
Face tank.
I like it, though. I'll definitely...
Man, I want to see the price point, because, ugh.
Yeah, it expected to be pretty expensive, because Perfect Effect.
Yeah.
I mean... Assuming this would be at least a large deluxe size, which, I mean, if they're going to make it, there's no point in making it if it's going to be smaller than that. But assuming it's going to be a large deluxe size, has Perfect Effect done anything else around that size to draw a comparison from?
Yeah, their figure that just got released, the Arachnid, that's a...
That's on the small side, though, isn't it?
It's a little bit, but... That's about, what, $100? So.
I'm guessing that this is probably going to be about the size of an animated deluxe.
Well, okay, I mean, you can see the size of the head.
Exactly.
Being on a Fortress Maximus kind of determines its mass.
Yeah. Or volume. I'm looking at that right now, and...
mass, volume is all the same thing. I'm good at physics.
Yeah.
Science!
I can't think of Dark Mount, but I can correct your physics. Okay. But yeah, so that looks great. $150 is going to be kind of steep. But it's very pretty.
No, but that's my guess.
That's a good guess.
How to price stuff.
Man, that would be a lot for that size, but.
Yeah.
Like, it almost would make me want to spring for the Fort Max, but. You know,
JD, for the price of 2 Fort Maxes, you could get the first appearance of Iron Man.
Scaleface posted a link in the chat of a supposed size comparison chart for this figure.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, it is definitely bigger than their other ones. Okay, I'll go with 150 based on that.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I'm thinking minimum 150.
I'm going to go 150.
Yeah. Pricey, but awesome.
Yeah, I'm almost certainly not going to get one, but I'd really like to have it.
Yeah, really. I won't buy it, but I want it.
I won't buy it, but I'll win it in a contest.
Yeah.
I would totally win that in the contest. I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. I don't. I'd put a dollar in it on a drawing.
Maybe. Maybe a quarter.
Yeah.
I said that for my Power Morpher, and I won that.
Don't want to get too extravagant, you know.
So what do you think about Warden, Don?
I only saw that a little while ago. I haven't had a chance to look at it in detail. With the release of Encore Fortress Maximus, anyone who needed a complete Fortress Maximus has all they need, unless this is an absolutely great standalone figure.
It looks like a great standalone figure, Don.
It looks pretty good standing by itself.
It does, but if you have a Junker Fort Max or a Fort Max that's, you know, missing the head, this is like a godsend.
Yeah, because a Cerebro is as expensive as hell.
Yeah.
And this will be too.
Now, was a price revealed for this?
No, $4,000.
Effects track record. You know, 150 or so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's our speculation.
So, Diesel, Don, take it away.
Okay. Well, as anybody who's been buying the Stunicons from Fans Project has seen, they have released the price and the final picture. Well, close to the final pictures, probably of Diesel or not Motormaster. Up for now, ordering at Big Bad Toy Store and other fine places with an early bird price of $120, which is about $30 less off of the suggested retail price.
PSA, it's only till the 26th, so get it now if you need it. I'm sure if you need it, you're going to pre-order it right away anyway, but get it now.
Yeah. The weird thing here, though, is, you know, the limbs, the small robots for this, the prices were higher than previous, like the Munitioner and Explorer. These were higher than those and the Insecticon toys because they said they were going to subsidize the price of Motormaster into the limbs. And yet comes Diesel at $150.
I think that's why they're doing this order, this pre-order, you know, early bird pricing, because they don't want a whole lot of backlash, so they're kind of
getting it anyway.
Yeah. Well, they're kind of asking the retailers to allow a special price for the first week and a half. So,
but you know, again, it could have been their intention to have it at that lower price, and if you look at the pictures, you see how much Diesel comes with as far as all the robot combiner parts that are, of course, other weapons and other things. So it could have been that they had to have it at a higher price than they originally wanted just through having all these parts instead of being dispersed over the other four figures. So if we look at it that way, if we had gotten the parts, the other four figures, it still would have balanced out to about the same. Because Diesel would have been cheaper, but the other figures would have been higher.
Do you work for Fans Project?
I'm just trying to look at it from all the points of view.
Really, what's happening is you're actually getting a great deal.
Yeah.
Because not only did you get to pay more for the limbs, but you actually get to pay the same price for the center body.
No,
I'll play devil's advocate.
No, I'm just saying the math could work either way. To make Diesel cheaper, it may have gone up somewhere else.
What kind of calculator are you using, Doug?
I think the point here, though, is that, again, they bumped the price of the limbs to make him cheaper, and then he's not cheaper. So that doesn't sound like.
But I'm just saying that maybe they, with all the parts coming with him, by the time the final number crunching was done, they couldn't do it at that cheap price.
But didn't they know that ahead of time? And then why didn't they include the limb pieces with the figures that they bumped the price on?
Because the limbs are all part of the trailer. But I will say this. If you look at the photos when they're all in robot mode, Motormaster is about double the size. So double the size, double the price. They were about $60 a piece. So $120
for Fans Project.
No, I'm saying $120 would be.
Did they not know ahead of time how big this figure would be? Did they not know this ahead of time?
You're not listening. The $120 would be exactly double the price. So even at 120, it doesn't really seem like there's any savings thrown into that.
It's worth it at twice the price. I don't know what you guys are complaining about.
But I'm not complaining. I'm just.
I'm joking. I don't seriously mean that. I wouldn't pay $50 for it.
This seems like the biggest case of like justification for like those that have bought it, because it's like it's okay that I'm being screwed over. Like,
it's not that. Podcast and I are just looking at it from a rational point of view,
a Stockholm syndrome point of view.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Well, I was stating that he's actually double the price of a figure half the size. So in reality, 120 is probably the correct price for him and not a discounted price. They put a higher price out there and then said, we're going to do early pricing to make it seem like you're getting a deal. I'm not complaining. I was going to get this figure no matter what, because I already have all four, so I'll take it at the 120. It's really not it's double the size, double the price. That's why I'm looking at it.
Double the love.
I don't really see a discount in the figure at all.
Right. But again, we don't know what went into the production cost of the figure. So I'm just saying,
I mean, I get what you're saying, Don, and I appreciate
we don't need to be grabbing the pitchforks and torches. It's not like their stuff is crap and they're charging us a lot of money. Quality is good.
I'm just saying. Here's what I'm saying, Don. And I appreciate the apologist sort of approach that you have in the sense that
I'm trying to be a rational person.
I just
want to know. I'm letting this go. I'm just going to let you guys have at it.
I'm just saying. Here's what I am saying. It's not a good idea, as a company that works on a small volume, to open up when you don't know what your final production cost is going to be, especially when you know that final bit figure is going to be big. It's not good to open up and say, by the way, consumer, I know these figures are more, but the one at the end is going to be less, when you don't know what the price is going to be at the end. Either don't say anything.
I agree, JD. I'm just saying,
Just say the production cost went up at the beginning, and don't make any kind of justification about saying you're going to make the final figure cheaper and then have it not be cheaper. If they would have said, look, we're sorry, these are better quality figures, you know, and the production costs have gone up because the economy is improving. If they would have said that, people would have gone, okay, and bought it. But now they've got to eat it, in a sense, from the fans, because they made a promise forward and said, no, this final figure is going to be cheaper, and it's not. That's the problem. I'm not saying it's not a great look. It looks beautiful, dude. I would buy four if I had the money, but I don't. So, you know, what I'm saying is don't promise that something is going to be cheaper on the end when you don't know what your production costs are going to be. I agree with you, Don. You're absolutely right. I think the production cost probably did go up. Yeah. I think they probably had to pay more to have that figure made. The problem is they promised in the beginning that it would be cheaper. That's the problem.
I mean, it could be something just as simple as the factory kept putting them off because they are a low-volume manufacturing group, and you know they had to pay the factory more to get the time to not have to delay diesel any longer than it already has been. Diesel has been in anticipation for about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to say, if you want to complain about anything about Fans Project, how about them announcing Headmasters and putting them off to the side after they announced the Stunicons, and now they did four Stunicons out of the five. And now we're getting that the two Headmasters that we've been waiting almost a year for, and then Diesel's going to fall after them. Why didn't they just do those Headmasters?
But that's a whole separate issue. You're buying from a small volume retailer. I mean, you're buying from a small volume, you know, direct to market retailer. There's going to be delays. There's going to be production issues. And that happens. And I think that is just a buyer beware kind of thing.
Right.
You know, but that's different than saying this is something that we're going to do and then not doing it.
But I, you're right, JD. But I'm just thinking this also goes back to the discussion that we had a few weeks ago that the third-party companies need to get more information out to their buying public when stuff like this happens. Again, don't show all their cards to their competitors, but as much as I love Fans Project, I would have liked to have known that Smart Robin and Quadruple U were going to be delayed this long just so I would have known what to plan for. And
yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point. I mean, I think that's the point overall here, which yeah. is to say, you know, these companies are selling expensive products to a decent volume of people and a very vocal fandom. So they're going to need to learn PR. It's just like we say about FunPub or anything else. It's like you've got to get your PR down. And one thing
Fans Project is really notorious for is not like directly communicating out to their audience.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's my one big problem with them is they got a Facebook page and you never see anything on it.
Nothing goes on their website hardly ever either. So
right.
So if anyone from Fans Project happens to watch this show, we love your products. I've bought several pieces.
They love your products. I haven't bought any.
But you need to get with us more on what the
I'm certain they're great.
Are.
They look nice. I just can't afford them.
Fans Project.
I mean, I can afford them,
but
I just used to buy
figures.
Other things.
Yeah.
Well,
like a Thrustinator.
Yes.
Well, you know, Fans Project started out kind of slow, you know, only releasing a few things at a time, but they became really popular and started wanting to put out a lot of stuff all the time.
Actually, I'm taking that back. Fans Project did the upgrade kit for Rodimus, right?
Yeah, Protector.
Yeah, so I did get the little Target Master.
I have the version they did as a thank you for making a tsunami relief donation.
So I just take back everything I said. I actually aspire to buy your products when my wife lets me.
I have the Fans Project Superion upgrade set, and it's great. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, and that's why I want to be clear. Like, this has nothing to do with the products they make. The products are great. I mean, that's the whole thing. They make good stuff that people want, but there's a business side to it too, and you can't just put out good stuff.
I was confusing them with Toy World.
How they market it needs some work.
Right.
And the point I was moving toward too was that Fans Project is kind of overextending themselves. They've mm-hmm. got three or four separate product lines going on all at once, and I don't think they have the production capacity to actually keep up with that at all times. The Stunticons and the Headmasters both took a back seat so they could get the Glacial Lords project up and finished in time for convention season this year.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't tell anybody that plan ahead of time, so everything basically just stopped. And it wasn't until BotCon and TFCon where that was revealed finally that, you know, there's these two toys that we've got ready right now, and there's more coming.
Yeah, I didn't find out about them until after they were all sold out, and I had been in the dealer's room most of the time up to when the Hasbro panel started. I'm just wondering if maybe they were trying to have that many product lines going to get their total production count up enough to be more of a viable agent for the production company. If that's they were shooting for trying to get these smaller orders all built up to be more of a game player in getting that time.
Well, the problem is that they're not talking to us, so we won't know.
Yeah, right.
I think that typifies what the problem is.
Hey, so speaking of unnecessary. Yeah, I know you totally did not even say that.
Thanks.
But
good job.
Jumping ahead.
Good segue.
So what about that not Ultra Magnus figure that we're getting from KFC? The EV Metal new leader concept image revealed,
yeah,
not
bulky.
MP Ultra Magnus.
Nice.
The first thing I thought was they two-up Titanium G1 Ultra Magnus.
That,
yes.
I totally get that.
Well, that's because it is a piece of garbage. It is garbage. I wanted this for years. I finally got it the first time.
You could have asked me before you bought that, and I would have told you.
I was like, oh, it's so hard to get. This must be great. And
yeah, right.
Did not work.
I left mine in the box. It and the Titanium Cheetor look great in the box, and that's where they're staying.
I don't really get it. I don't understand why we need this.
Need? No.
Well, maybe it's because we don't have an actual G1 Magnus with car carrier armor. We've got
sure we do. It's called G1. It's G1 Ultra Magnus.
Yeah, it is.
So it's as good as you're going to get.
Is this all metal, or is it plastic with some die-cast parts?
If it's because like if the Perceptor figure, it's going to be a mix of metal parts and plastic.
Oh, the Perceptor figure is part metal? Is it all Hulk?
It's partly real.
Structural.
And someone was saying that this is going to be, or speculation is that, you know, in robot mode, he's going to be as tall as MP10. So I think for a masterpiece, you know, shelving, it would be nice.
Yeah. MP10 is about, what, 10 inches tall?
Yeah.
That's a little on the big side.
Yeah, to me, Ultra Magnus should be taller than Prime, though.
Really? I think they should be about the same size, but
yeah. I mean, I'm assuming this is more intended for like classics use instead of masterpiece.
Yeah.
And 10 inches seems a little bit tall for that.
Well, if he's actually going to be able to carry classic size cars.
Well, now old classics cars or current classic cars?
Yeah,
significant difference there, Don.
Well, if it'll yep. do old classics cars, it'll do new classics cars. So.
They'll just rattle around a little bit.
Yeah,
I really wish we would get an Ultra Magnus
or 7 new classics cars.
I really wish we'd get an Ultra Magnus that would be able to hold some masterpiece cars.
No.
Wow,
that would be awesome.
I don't see that happening.
I don't.
Yeah.
That would be $300.
I mean, some third party might do it, but
you know, for years it's been kicked around the idea of, you know, third party masterpiece size Ultra Magnus trailer. Even for the original masterpiece Optimus,
that would be the worst thing ever.
Yeah, I've heard of rumors for years of people wanting to make an add on kit for that first masterpiece Magnus and just have him plug in the back like G1 Magnus does.
I'm not sure the people who are thinking these things up are actually aware of what that toy weighs.
Oh God.
That's like 5 pounds.
I remember seeing schematics online a long time ago.
If it doesn't
it could be done.
So if it doesn't plug in, if it stands on like a platform and then is locked in from the back, it would work.
Yes.
Yeah.
It would just be terrible.
But
yes.
The easiest and probably most reasonable thing to do would be to do it based on the Titanium figure where it doesn't have a separate cab robot mode. It's all one integral robot so that it can be stable, posable, and the size needed without having to compromise on it.
Well, heck, even in
it's not as crappy as Titanium Ultra Magnus. Yeah.
In a Carnage and C Minor, one of the scenes.
No sentence should start out that way.
All sentences should start out that way.
It actually shows him transforming, and there, if you pause the frame and advance.
Okay, there are two problems with this now. One,
JD, you remember the 90s.
You have mentioned Carnage in C Minor. Two, you are trying to make reference to an Ultra Magnus transformation in the cartoon season.
I know, but I'm just saying it shows something what XB said. It shows the cab folding back into the body. And again, that may be what they're using as a reference point.
S-M-H. No.
Hey, so what do you think about the X-Transbot upgrade kit for fellow Cybertron Bruticus?
Cautious optimism?
That's about where I'm at.
Because it looks really good for giving it a lot more aesthetic Bruticusness.
If they do it in purple, I'm buying it.
Wow.
Yeah, no,
they're going to do it in all three.
I think the G2 themed one is going to be primarily yellow.
Yeah, okay.
Unfortunately, that means I'll have to buy a second G2 version because my first one's staying in the box.
I might
No. Don, this real easy. You buy the upgrade kit for the G2 Bruticus, and then you just you poster tag it to the box of G2 Bruticus.
Yeah.
Why don't you take it out very carefully and then put it back in the box?
With the upgrade on?
With the upgrade kit.
Because the cannons and the wings.
Cut a hole in the top of the box.
But then he's destroying that beautiful box.
That box is 7 layers of awesome.
It is.
It's art. There's no other way to describe it. That box is art.
It would not. I'm looking at it right now. It wouldn't fit. I'm never taking mine out either.
No. I'm cautiously.
Would you take the Mona Lisa out of its frame and move it? No, you wouldn't.
I'm gonna wait for pricing and what color scheme's gonna come out when. I sort of am interested in seeing if they do one for the Wreckers, because that might actually make Wreckers worth a purchase.
I've got those. I need to open those.
So Scaleface has the right idea. They need to make a new third-party G2 Bruticus box that holds the add-on set and the toys. I like that. That's a good one.
I appreciate the set, though, because it's designed so all the extra parts have something to do when it's not combined into Bruticus.
Exactly. It's a trailer for Onslaught. I think this is a really great example of what third parties originally set out to do. Add-on kits that we're not going to get from Hasbro to make it a more viable toy.
Yeah, and this is something we talk about almost every time we have discussion at length on third-party stuff.
Remember the good old days when third parties only did these things?
Remember the good old days when third parties only released stuff like 3 or 4 times a year?
Yeah.
So are we at the point where more third-party stuff comes out than Hasbro stuff? We are, right?
Yeah, pretty much, especially right now.
At least more is announced than Hasbro stuff comes out. Not everything that's announced gets made.
Yeah.
Right.
So I had a photo, but my browser is messing with me, so I'm going to just not show it. Does anyone remember the PVC Unicron that made it to the internet several years ago?
Yeah.
No. It was a test shot.
The one from Neo?
No. It was G1. It was turned out that it was probably a Mega SCF prototype that never got produced.
Oh, yeah.
There's just some news surfaced about that last week. Yeah.
Very vaguely.
I thought that was neat. I'm like, oh, hey, that was not a custom or something. Mega SCF was really something.
Well, they tried, bless their hearts.
Yeah.
That's about the size of it.
They certainly did. Okay. What do we have, XV? Amy's got comic news this week. She's going over the December solicitations. We have a review of Regeneration 1, number 0?
Yeah.
Sweet. And let's see here. We also have a Q&A with Rob Springer. And let's go ahead and jump to that. We'll be back right after this.
You boys a bit bored? Snap me to it! Snap me to a Slim Jim!
Hey guys, it's Rob, and this week's question comes from our pal Computron2. Computron asks, hey guys, it's me again. I was wondering what you think the new generation's Bumblebee that comes with the comic book will be repainted as. Let me know what you think. Thanks. Smiley face. Happy. Computron2. P.S. I'm from Minnesota. Okay. Honestly, that Bumblebee is probably going to be repainted as a lot of things, as it's pretty much a standard car bot type toy. His quality is kind of up in the air. A lot of people don't really like him so much. I enjoy it quite a bit, actually. Not to the level of saying, hey, this is the perfect figure ever. This is the most perfect toy I've ever gotten. I don't say that. No. But as far as a completely decent average toy, I'm like, yeah. A lot of people are really down on it because of the colors. Fairly so. Because, being a yellow sports car, he has a lot of different shades of yellow as opposed to one solid shade. And it really makes him look kind of cheap. And in some places, he looks almost like a bootleg toy. With better colors, he'd be a much stronger looking figure. And that's really it. The doors should have been would probably have been a lot better if they were mounted on the back as opposed to the shoulders for his little car door wing thing. That's really it. Aside from that, he's not really that terrible of a figure. He's just kind of average. I mean, we know the Gold Bug or Gold Fire reversion is coming out, and he'll probably be a stronger toy with not dealing with those color issues. But after that, the sky's the limit, man. Personally, some people were saying a Nightbeat. In fact, I think I saw a custom as Nightbeat, and that looked really good. And a friend of mine was suggesting Boss, which would be a great use. Pretty much the sky's the limit. That's a pretty good car mold. So with a different head and a good paint and different... I stuttered. With different head and good colors, it could be anything, really. Because it's a pretty decent mold. Personally, I'd like to see it come with some better weapons as well next time. Those guns he comes with are kind of awkward to me. So, different head, different weapons. He could be anybody. I mean, really, I enjoyed playing my Bumblebee quite a bit. I was just like, man, these colors are unfortunate. And, you know, it is what it is, I guess. I don't know what decisions based those odd color choices in there, but it was a business decision, I'm sure, and probably made more for meeting a budget than anything. But yeah, they did. It does. The colors do take away from the toy and make it look like a junky toy when you're holding it. I'd like some Turbo Masters, guys. You know, that Boss idea was a good one. I'd like Hurricane. I've always liked Hurricane. I've heard people say Wind Charger, which isn't a bad choice. Yeah, I don't know. There's so many different car dudes. You know what I'd really like to see? I'd like to see somebody new. All the homages, and stuff are great. But for like the past 10 years, the majority of toys have been new version of another dude. I'd like to see new dude. So if they took that mold, gave it a different head, or even used the same head, because the head sculpt is fine, really, and a good color palette, and made him somebody else, I'd be very interested. You know, I'd be all up for that. It looks great. It'd be great. I think that'd be good. Because like I said, I enjoyed the toy quite a bit. I was just like, man, these colors do not do it any favors. That's really it. And hey, I'm glad you're happy, Computron 2. And you're from Minnesota. I'm from Georgia. We'll use the Rob Q&A Kids Club. You know, everyone touch screens. Now we're all in the same room for half a second. That's not how things work, but, you know, we can pretend. But hey, thanks for your question, Computron 2. And hey, you got some more, send them in. I'll answer it in due time. It gets put in the queue, and I answer it. Guys, it's Rob at tfradio.net. You can send them in that way. Send them at Facebook. Send them at Twitter. Send them however. You can go to my blog, roborobspringer.tumblr.com. Hey, read my blog, crap. But there's a question thing there. Hey, ask me one there. But yeah, keep sending them in, guys. This is a lot of fun for all of us. Now let's go back to the Funky Bunch and see what they got going on. Something tells me Massey's done gotten in a bunch of trouble, and Don's just beside himself trying to save the day here. So, thanks for watching, guys, and cool it now. We're about to lose control. Yeah.
It's now time for Comic News with Amy Morgan.
Hello, Transformer fans. Amy here with the news for this week. Nothing earth-shattering, but there are a few good bits, so... Up first, this is the month of birthdays, so a big happy birthday to Nick Roach. Joanna LaFuente, and Andrew Griffith. Hope it was a great one from everyone here at RFC. Woohoo! Next, there is an interview at previewsworld.com with Phil Jimenez, talking on his role on Transformers Dark Cybertron, which he admits is relatively minor. He'll be key in the construction of the layouts and a cover offering every issue. But he also talks about his love for the franchise as well. Definitely check it out for the images if you have no interest in his contribution, as they do tease some things that I found pretty interesting, and there's a few pages there. So, iBooks has a digital-only Transformers cover collection releasing October 2nd, and it's up for pre-order right now. They say, for the first time ever, every cover from the first 16 issues of Transformers More Than Meets the Eye and Robots in Disguise in one place. Every retailer incentive cover, every alternate cover, every second printing cover, and more. Over 100 covers for one low price. Jump on iBooks now and pre-order your digital copy. I highly recommend this because, hey, it's only a dollar, my friends. You can't beat that. And speaking of digital, Monstrosity. All digital copies have been released, and I'm going to be reviewing that soon. But this week, if you want your printed version, it is out at your local comic shop. It should collect the end of Monstrosity. And Made fires motion and sound effect treatment of issue 4 of Autocracy is available. So go and check that out if you're following that. Just this last week, Margaret Scott disclosed on her Twitter that the Beast Hunters ongoing will no longer be an ongoing and is wrapping up at issue 8. It's sad, but true. Hopefully we'll be seeing more from this awesome chica in the future. But until then, enjoy the rest of the run, and I definitely look forward to whatever she will be endeavoring into the future. That final issue will be in December, according to the solicits, because, yeah, that's what I'm going to review next. Well, not review, but, yeah, it's up next on the news. So, December solicits, first up. More Than Meets the Eye, issue number 24, which is also Dark Cybertron, chapter 4. Trapped, alone on a strange world, the crew of the Lost Light struggle against an unknown enemy. But what does this have to do with Shockwave's master plan? Answer, everything. Meanwhile, Optimus Prime finds an old friend in the dead universe. Yeah, I'm going to let that one hang there for a minute. I wonder who it is. we've got a nice focus on Ratchet this month, and the extra bits are saying there's a variant cover by James Reyes as well. Although it looks like we are only getting the Casey Collar covers teased for us this go-round. But remember that there will be several covers for Dark Cybertron issues, so definitely keep your eyes peeled or talk to your local comic shop about those subscription covers that we haven't yet seen. So, next up is Robots in Disguise, issue number 24, Dark Cybertron, chapter 5. And it says, under fire, Autobots and Decepticons unite to battle a common foe. But will it be enough to stop the Dark Cybertron prophecy from coming true? Shockwave's plan reaches fruition. While in the dead universe, secrets are revealed. This Casey cover collar issue is sporting a wicked-looking Galvatron, and Nova Prime will also be getting a variant cover by Marcelo Mattier. Then we have Regeneration 1, issue 97. Dark Forces Rise. Jahaxis, the mysterious senator who deleted himself from Cybertronian history, according to issue 0. Is back, but as friend or foe. Rodimus Prime is forced to question the motives of Primus himself. Does he drag the Autobots into a war they can't win, or side with an enemy who seeks only one thing, universal order? It's Hug-a-Jahaxis. Not sure Rodimus likes hugs, or maybe he's just more surprised at that level of PDA for the cover. This cover's by Andrew Wildman. Transformers Prime Beast Hunters number 8. Sad but true, it's the ending. The fight for Cybertron. Grimlock and his Dinobots meet up with old allies and try to stop the new threat to the planet. But as things get heated, the outcome becomes uncertain. A new beginning or the end of the Dinobots? A fond farewell or just the beginning? Well, we know it's the end for now, so we'll see how that one, how this issue will wrap up. In the trade offerings for December, we will be getting Monstrosity in its entirety, in one volume, sporting a brooding Megatron with Junkion upgrades on it. And Robots in Disguise, volume number 5, collecting the single issues 17 through 22, with Mr. Bossbot Starscream heralding his new headwear for Cybertronian leaders. And that, my friends and fellow fans, is the news. Don't forget to check out T-Formers for all your comic news. But you can also follow myself on Twitter at Lady of Rec, as anything I put out there is ASAP, and most of the writers, artists, and colorists are on Twitter as well, and they tease things at times. So if you aren't on that social media, I definitely endorse it. I get a lot of news bits from that. So, yeah, keeping you up to date in real time. That's just how it goes. So thanks for tuning in.
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Radio Free Cybertron has teamed up with Kokomo Toys and Collectibles in Kokomo, Indiana. If you're in the Kokomo area, visit our store for a huge selection of new and classic toys. Visit online at www.kokomotoys.com for our address and store hours. While you're there, check out our listing of pre-order items, as well as visit our eBay store. Visit us at www.kokomotoys.com. That's KOKOMOTOYS.com. We're also on Facebook.
Warning, the following segment may contain spoilers for the most recent Transformers comic books. So this week is Regeneration Zero, because as we all know, Zero comes after 94. But this was not a typical Regeneration 1 issue.
No, I liked it pretty well. Yeah.
I mean, what do you think made this issue come across different than the previous many issues?
A whole bunch of things. I think we're working in this one's favor. For one thing, you know, like I've said before, of the various G1 artists, Andrew Wildman's style is actually one of my least favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And so and this is the first issue we've gotten that was not Andrew Wildman or someone doing a very good impression of Andrew Wildman. So that helps a lot just to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the coloring is finally what we've wanted it to be since the first issue. I thought that was really, I thought it was tremendously well done, and it's a damn shame the rest of the book isn't going to look like that.
Yeah. I really wonder if it is an editorial mandate to make the colors all shiny and modern, even though it clashes with what the rest of the art style should be and is trying to do.
I think it is. I think it almost has to be. You know, the fact that they actually went to the trouble of replicating the old coloring styles for this, you know, makes it very obvious that for the, you know, for the main book, they're trying for something that is modern, which is kind of not exactly in the spirit of the whole project.
Right. Yeah, it's really a shame, and I think there could have been a lot of potential, even with Wildman's original art, if the classic style coloring had been used on this.
Yeah, I think I would have liked the look of the thing a lot more that way.
Yeah, because that's been a major visual complaint I've had. I can take the Wildman art style. You know, I'm used to that from the late part of the Marvel run anyway.
Yeah.
But there's too much saturation and richness with the coloring style through the book. It doesn't go.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the total opposite end of the spectrum from the coloring in More Than Meets the Eye, which is washed out and, you know, hospital fluorescent light sterile feeling.
Yeah. If you swapped the colorists on those books, that would probably just be just about perfect.
No, because then More Than Meets the Eye would be too saturated and Regeneration 1 would be washed out. No, they need to meet in the middle.
Well, yeah.
You know, I don't want super saturated colors in More Than Meets the Eye. We kind of have that with Robots in Disguise. That's a little bit too saturated for me, too, but that's not really here or there.
Yeah.
See, as I've been thinking about Issue Zero, what struck me is it's not actually advancing the story any more than any other issue has for the most part.
Yeah, but almost all the things that are threatening to happen are not threatening to happen immediately and then not happening. These are obviously things that are going to be important later. Not next issue, but later.
And some of them actually have already happened, so...
Yeah.
In fact, all but one of the scenarios is things that have actually happened.
Yeah. But all pointing towards things that are going to have to be dealt with later on. But again, not in a way that we are sitting here waiting for them to be done with, because they're sitting there on the horizon not doing anything.
Furman sure does seem to be trying to reinvent the swarm, doesn't he?
Yeah, I was looking at the anti-matrix there and thinking, yes, and now standing in for the swarm.
Hmm.
Again, you know, I'm hoping that redoing the end of Generation 2 is just a stop on our way to the end of this, and it's not the ultimate goal, because we have sure jumped through some hoops here to do what would have been a lot simpler to do just by picking up with Generation 2 number 13 instead.
Yeah, there was only 12 issues.
Mm-hmm.
I get confused on that sometimes. Numbers, man. They're out to get you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought setting the, what was it, the fourth scenario in an alternate cartoon future was kind of a neat direction to go.
Yeah, I like that. And also, it's kind of entertaining because, you know, popping into the cartoon universe and taking their version of the Matrix is essentially what Simon Furman did when he started using it in his comics anyway. So we're getting very literal here.
I know. Yeah, I know. Did you read the script wrap-up that got posted a couple days ago?
I did, but I do not remember any of it.
Well, I couldn't recite it for detail, but the general thing I took away from it was he was basically saying that this both was and wasn't planned from the start. All the like middle part of Hot Rod going through the different points in time and space and what have you were not going to be shown originally.
Yeah.
The original concept for this was that he was going to disappear into the bright, sparkly doorway, and then, you know, page, issue, later, whatever, the next time he appears, he would be Rodimus Prime, and it wouldn't be, like, laid out in a straight line how you got from that to that. He just would have gone on that journey by Primus and come back as a Prime then.
Yeah.
And I'm not, like, it's better that, I think it's better that the whole process was laid out in one stop like this, but it's basically saying that, yeah, this issue is kind of just filling up some space here, and ordinarily would have just been over the course of a couple pages or panels.
Yeah.
You know, we were wondering if we were getting an issue zero to, like, make some extra time or tell more story that they couldn't fit into the 20-issue lot they got, and it's kind of feeling like both of those things are the case.
Yeah.
Which isn't inspiring my confidence.
Mm.
Not that I had a lot left.
Well, I have completely lost my train of thought.
This issue was, it was fun to read, kind of in the same way that 94 was, because there's spectacle going on, basically, and it's distracting you from how slow and plodding the story is, and all this is doing is just kind of teasing you with stuff that will probably be important later on.
Yeah. I mean, geez, now that you mentioned, yeah, there are, what, maybe 3 pages in the whole book that are, like, really significant to what will be going on later. The scene with the Anti-Matrix, Rodimus, well, Hot Rod getting the Matrix, and Jaxus running off with the contents of Underbase.
Or at least the greatest hits.
Yeah.
I don't think he took the entire Underbase, because then he'd be Starscream.
Well, yeah.
The intent seemed to be that he took what he needed to learn how to make probably the hub, mm-hmm. Which Furman has used like 2 or 3 times before in his other alternate takes on post G1 and G2. So I think this time we're doing it without Liege Maximo, but I'm pretty sure the same general concept is applying here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Furman has no new ideas.
That does sadly seem to be the case. And, you know, if it, it would be one thing if he were going back and using ideas he didn't use 20 years ago.
But he doesn't remember any of them.
Yeah.
We talked about that early on.
Writers, keep notes.
Yeah, we talked about that early in the run of Regeneration 1. You know, he probably doesn't remember all the stuff he wanted to do if the book had continued back in 1991.
Yeah.
Which is a damn shame.
It is.
It's baffling, though, because, you know, when IDW started publishing, Furman was their main writer, and he was more or less doing new story elements to build up this universe. Half of it got thrown out over the years as the directions and, you know, editors and head writers changed hands, but he was doing different stuff, and I don't want him to rehash the old IDW stuff in the sort of Marvel continuity he's building here, but he could be doing original stuff. He's got the potential in him still, and he's not, and I'm disappointed.
Yeah. I mean, about the only thing we have really imported from IDW is that this Jaxus is apparently supposed to be one of these 5 smartest people on the planet, as opposed to, you know, petty warlord.
So he's Lex Luthor instead of Darkseid.
Yes.
So we're back. So we're going to have dueling werewolves, or pardon me, dueling not werewolves. Both diecast, next we have him.
Okay, JD, you provide the banjo music.
Brian probably knows it better than I do.
Screw you, JD.
Fantastic. So, Diecast, I know you feel a little more positive about this than I do.
Yeah, I like him. I think for a wolf, they did a really good job with him. I know he's a little slender in the stomach area, but I like the head. I like what they do with the visor on the head, the way the visor flips down in front of the eyes for the robot mode. I don't know. I just think in both modes he's a decent figure.
Now, see, I have concerns about the way it's designed, because, like, you know how the torso is basically a mass of panels and hinges.
Yeah,
and there's not anything that is being an anchor for any of it.
I mean, it's kind of in his, you know, interesting design. Just like Code had the sliding panel, This is the same kind of thing where it goes basically up and down the series of panels. They do lock in with the chest piece in the front.
Well, okay. If you look at the tab that's on the torso piece, the upper tab, and you look at the socket on the inside of the chest panel, that socket is much bigger than the tab. So I don't think that's actually like a locking thing for the robot mode. I think it's more like a positioning device so that you know where to keep the chest.
Yeah, I mean, mine's pretty tight. The only thing I have a little bit of play in is where the legs connect. In here, it has a little bit of wiggle, but, I mean, an animal's not going to be completely stiff like a car anyway, so I can forgive
it. Will if it has arthritis.
Wiggle. Yeah. But I can forgive the wiggle on this. Even the two panels where the headmaster goes in to sit, they lock really nice in place when they're both down, which adds strength to it too.
I wouldn't say they necessarily lock, but the hinges are pretty stiff.
Yeah, I mean they sit nicely against each other to hold everything in place. I mean, when you move the head, nothing else moves on this figure. You know, his neck isn't wobbling or anything. So I think it feels really good.
And see, the thing I experience with this is like when I try to pose the arm or use the inner shoulder joint, more often than not, the side of the chest will just drop because of the pressure placed against it, trying to leverage the arm out. I've actually had to go in and loosen the screws on the back of the arm so that that can pull out easier without pulling the side of the body open too. I would really like to have had the torso locked together some way more than the like implication of pegging together that it has. The other thing too, there's a lot of joints in the legs and they're almost all completely useless for the wolf mode, which feels like a big waste to me.
Yeah, it can't really bend forward at all. That is one thing that I kind of noticed on it, and I'm like, wait, if these can spin around and do all that other stuff, why can't they just go forward a little? Although, if you move the upper thigh, then you can get some pretty good movement with the foot.
What you can do also, if you specifically want to do like, you know, sitting poses where the legs are in the opposite position as standing. If you transform it where the lower robot body is backwards, you know, it'll reverse all the leg joints so that you can get the legs up under the body so that you can pose it sitting or sitting up, you know, acting like a dog.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's ways around it, but when you do that, you can't really have it stand up because the legs are the wrong length. Then another thing that bothers me too, there's all that going on with the back legs for the wolf mode, and then the arms do not really transform at all between modes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the elbows don't even bend to 90 degrees. That's just...
It's close to 90 degrees.
I think XV has convinced you, Diecast. I think...
I can see...
I get the feeling Diecast is going, yeah. Well, but it... Well, yeah.
I looked at a G1 Weird Wolf this weekend because I was at RetroCon, and there's no comparison. I mean,
well,
this
no,
is so much
not.
Better. And I'm still looking at the Skull Crushers that are $100 around there if you want to buy one at a show like that. Yeah. And I'm like, I know Fans Project's doing a Skull Crusher, and it's going to be awesome. So, I mean, I would have liked the Weird Wolf, not Weird Wolf, to have you know, maybe a little bit of motion in the tail instead of being static. I would have liked if
when you plug the tail in wolf mode, pop the storage hinge open. You know, then you can hinge the tail a little bit up and down.
I'm just gonna say mine's arriving tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to opening it up. Definitely, you know, I agree with you on that diecast, if I can just say, because it's definitely a lower cost alternative than getting an original one. I guess you could say it's a wolf in cheap clothing.
That's awesome, Don.
Oh, wow. And on that note.
So that's Radio Free Cybertron for this week. Sorry, go ahead.
Like, aesthetically, I really like this. You know, Code was a little bit plain visually, because with that, it felt more like it's just trying to make a new G1 Chrome Dome toy. This is redone. It's like made over classic style, and I like that about it. You know, I can appreciate the engineering that went into how the parts that do transform, but I also don't really like them for compromising a lot of the stability of the figure. And places where robot mode joints could have been left alone to give the wolf more mobility are kind of locked down for no particular reason that I can see. You know, it's things like that. There's aspects of it I like, but there's a lot of stuff, too, that just it doesn't work for me. And I don't think it's unreasonable to expect the second figure in the series to be equal to the first release. And I don't think this measures up to that. I don't have regret for buying it now. I did a little bit when I first opened it. but if Smart Robin's not, you know, at least back up to Code levels, I'm not sure I'm going to continue with the function line.
Oh, I think Smart Robin's probably going to be the best one out of the three. If I had to guess, that's my expectation for Smart Robin. Also, can we talk about the packaging for a second? Because sure. I really wish Funpub would pay attention to the packaging on these guys, because that would be the perfect packaging for their subscription figures. I mean, why do you need all that frickin' foam when you're not going to put foam on the top of it anyway, and it's still going to get damaged? Do this plastic clamshell and put it in a box. I mean, my box from Big Bad Toy Store came destroyed and crushed.
Mine pretty much did too.
but the toy and the box inside were fine, because Big Bad Toy Store packages it with, you know, well, and then the packaging inside, there was no chance this figure was going to get damaged. You could have kicked that box, you know, across a stadium, and it would have been okay.
Yeah.
Well, one thing we talked about in the pre-show, guys, if y'all don't mind me saying this, is that we were looking at the beast mode having less places to go with things than a car mode.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe when we get the next beast mode figure from the line, we should compare the two beasts together and see if they've improved on the beast transformation?
Absolutely. And I was thinking about that about Skull Crusher, because, I mean, hopefully that's going to be the next beast that we get.
Mindwipe's going to be the next one after Smart Robin.
Ooh, Mindwipe, really?
Yeah.
Because that's the one that's actually physically in development right now.
Yeah, they showed that off at TFCon.
That's going to be great. Hopefully.
Skull Crusher is probably going to be the last one out of the original five they showed at TFCon last year.
So how long until the repaints come along?
Well, Code got a repaint. It was a pretty limited run.
But that will be coming out later.
I don't even remember that.
It was a
virus.
They had to be there.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, a virus was released. No one knew virus was coming at BotCon. And then by the time the word got out, he was already sold out.
Right.
Once the virus got out.
Yeah.
Mm.
But it spread quickly.
They would be releasing more later on in the year.
They are not really revealing what any of the other recolors are. I guess, you know, they were saying they might do the Alligator Con version Skullcruncher,
which is awesome.
Want so bad.
Awesome.
But I'm not sure what they'll do with any of the other ones.
Unless they do Minerva / Arcee, that we've discussed that before, and we haven't seen anything on that Minerva mold yet as far as a physical sample. So
there has not been anything about it since that one slide at TFCon last summer.
And if Fan Project had, you know, PR, maybe you could talk to them and ask them.
Yeah. If Fans Project is smart and cares about their products, the Minerva, as it was shown at that time, will never come out. Because that looked pretty terrible.
So, sorry, we're talking about Cards Against Humanity in the chat.
I can see, yeah.
That was so much fun. And D&D. Yeah. So, I really want the Alligator Con repainted Skullcruncher. Like, I can't tell you how bad. I will buy it. If it's not, sells out and $5,000 on the secondary market. Not doing that.
Well, no.
No. Maybe.
I just hope they don't make it an exclusive, that's going to make it hard to get.
Well, first they have to settle on a distribution method for virus.
Yeah, hey, real quick also, I know I should just be typing this in the chat, but Skillface, on our Facebook page, there was a question about a Transformers RPG by Jazzmeister. I actually got a personal message from Jazzmeister as well, so I think Jazzy is looking for a Transformers RPG. Pretty cool. Sorry. Okay, I guess that's it.
And I'm just pacing the chat right now, the quick little review video for...
Oh, yeah, I'll post that to Facebook as well. So you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TFRadio and Twitter at TFRadio. And I really want you guys out there to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We need to get those subscriber numbers up. I know we have way more listeners than we have subscribers. I'd like to fix that. So if you guys could help us out with that, we would really appreciate it. Personally, I am at BKilby. XV is not on Twitter. JD Church is at the JD Church. At the JD Church. That's right, isn't it, JD? You're the JD Church.
The, yep.
And you tweet awesome things like...
Thrustinator.
Yeah, if you want an exclusive, never before seen photo of Thrustinator, go check out JD's Twitter timeline right now.
Diecast, where can we find you again?
I'm on Twitter at Diecast2, so follow me there. Please follow me.
Don.
I'm now on Twitter at HMRC for EVR, or you find me on Facebook if you have a need to enter that board.
Yeah. So, like I mentioned on the show last week, and I don't know if Amy heard it, Amy passed me on Twitter, so I am gunning for you, Amy. I am totally gunning for you. I'm going to catch back up. And I'm like way behind TFG1 Mike. Did you see
here
that?
Here comes.
No.
Right.
Yeah, he is like way ahead of me. I need to fix that. I need to sign up for a lot of those services that Mike does. Sorry, Mike. We love you.
JD, are you drunk?
JD's drunk.
Aren't I always?
Okay, so that's the show for this week. We will be back next week for Radio Free Cybertron 330. See you later.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TFRadio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2012 TF Radio Network.